Welcome everyone to another podcast of Modern World Zen. This is Josh Barzell. So last episode we were talking about how you can have, first of all, there's two things really. You can have the fear of death. You can be confronted with death. You can have a family member confronted with death, and you can have fear there. And we did that podcast, Fear of Death. And in that context, you still should have room for love and understanding. Last episode, what we touched on was the fact that the attainment of yoga is an immortal state. It's not something new. You always had it. You always have it. You never can really be separated from it, but you need to access it and attain it through meditation. But in a sense, it is already attained. And that when you do that, the concept of death for you doesn't exist anymore. People might project their mortality onto you, but in that state of pure happiness and perfection, there is no death for you. And so that was the last episode on the immortal state. In this episode, we're going to go a little further and look at the way an enlightened being looks at the world. So it's really the viewpoint of an enlightened being, because you can say immortal state, but how does that being interact? What are his thoughts, his or her thoughts? And you know, what is the primary, not really qualification so much, but you know, how would you know that you're listening to an enlightened being, say? And the first thing that, you know, comes to mind is that you have to understand that there are many ways to the truth. It's not just one way. So while the immortal state might be the same, and it is the same across all paths, the paths are many, right? So it's not as if like, oh, well, I'm listening to Modern World Zen podcast and I've become enlightened, so this is the only way. This is not true. So that's the first thing. And, you know, be very wary of anyone who says this is the only way. It's because it's not true. Some religions teach that theirs is the only way, and it's not accurate. Because I shouldn't say the religions would teach that. No religion teaches that it's the only way, but some of the followers of the religion teach that their way is the only way, and that's not accurate. Okay, so we are looking at the characteristics of this immortal state, and I would say that let's call it the self, right? We'll go a little bit further than last episode. We don't have to be scared with all of this terminology, but we could just call it the self. We could just call it consciousness. And so how does that consciousness relate to our being in the world? Do we have the consciousness now? The answer is yes, we do. Do we have that immortal state now? Right now, you listening to me, you have a state that is beyond death, that death cannot touch within you at this moment. Otherwise, you wouldn't even be able to listen to this podcast. That's what you're trying to attain. But it's not something new. So how is it that we can function in a world with this God state or this enlightened state? And we just have to be aware that everything we do, whoever we love, and that three podcasts ago, opening up, I believe it was three ago, we were talking about how we can take the love we have for someone else and project it onto the self. And so that's what I'm saying now, is what I'm saying is how does that work in the world? Well, what we do is we love other people for the sake of that same self within. So you say you do have it, but you have it projected onto relationships, you know, husband, wife, brother, sister, mother, father, daughter, whatever, son, and that's projected there, right? But you don't lack the immortal state. You have that state. You just are using it and loving these limited relationships. And, you know, we were talking about three episodes ago to project that onto the self as our meditation. So that's what we do. We have this God state and we love other people and love things and get interested in things in the world. Our whole life is based on this God state, actually. And you could say, well, but it's not in playing tennis, or it's not in playing the violin, or it's not in this person. It's true. It's not. That's the whole point of sort of these episodes, is to get you to see that it's really not external to you. It's internal. But nevertheless, it's reflected in all of these relationships that we have. In fact, all of the things that we get interested in at all is because of that immortal state, that consciousness or that self that we have within us. So an enlightened being is going to have knowledge of that state, and they're going to value that knowledge more so than they would value someone who, you know, is really, really a good hard worker, for example. You know, someone who's like a really, really, really hard worker isn't going to have the same enlightenment as someone who really does know the truth. And this can be very difficult to say, because I just said that, you know, earlier, when I started this episode, that there's many paths to the truth, right? But when it comes down to the end of it, knowledge of the truth is going to have more value than someone, say, still, you know, traveling on the path, say, still working hard at what they're doing. You can't really, you know, say that someone who's reached the goal is the same as someone who's still traveling the goal. So we don't want to say that. Hopefully that shouldn't be too hard to understand. And but nevertheless, we do all have this state within us. And some of us are practicing sadhana. Some of us have already attained the goal and have stopped practicing sadhana, and that's fine. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at how this can be dealt with in the world, because you can know that you're the self, but you can be practicing this sadhana. You can be saying, I am the self, I am the self, I am the self. And someone who knows the self will wonder why you're even saying it, right? Because sadhana or spiritual practice in itself can be kind of delusional, right? I mean, in a sense, its very nature is delusional. We're trying to tell ourselves what we already are. We're trying to attain what we already have. So, you know, one of the ways that you can, it's not really falling into a trap, because no one would say, you know, you shouldn't do these spiritual practices. Only a fool would say that. But nevertheless, we are trying to attain what it is that we already have. And we can say, I am the self, I am the self, all day long. But it's not as if at any time were you not the self. And hopefully you can understand that subtle point. So there's a couple things. One, we have consciousness within, right? We also exist in a framework called the world, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to me on this podcast, and I wouldn't even be able to record this episode without that. So the world still exists. It just exists as consciousness. It exists as that same self, as that same immortal state. And it's the same within everyone. So in reality, everything that you're interacting with is that same self. There isn't anything other than that same self. And you might be just like, oh my God, how could that be, right? You're so amazed by that reality. But what do? We go on pilgrimages, we go on retreats, we see our therapist, we do, what are we doing all these things for, right? We're doing all these things for an experience of the self. We even, you know, enter into relationships and love other people for the experience of the self. Everything we do is for that experience. So, but we have to separate out, even though everything is the self, we still don't really understand the nature of reality, because we're caught up essentially between two states. One is the state of the waking state, and the other is the state of the sleep state. I've talked about this many times before in this podcast. And we have to make sure that we realize that neither of those states are entirely true on their own. They're only comparatively real. Because, you know, what we see at night when we go to bed in our dreams doesn't exist here now in this waking state where you're listening to me and I'm doing this episode. But nevertheless, in the same way, what exists here doesn't exist when you go to sleep and close your eyes and dream, right? There are these two separate realities. So when you recognize that and you can see that, it does at least make possible for you to believe that there is a state of the self, that there is an immortal state, and that there is a state that transcends both the dreaming and the waking state. So when we say everything is the self, that's that state that you can get into through meditation and what we're trying to get to and attain to. So, but the difficulty in describing it lies in the fact that it itself is the witness. So it is the observer of what we see, right? It doesn't exist outside of us in some way. It's within us. So it's very difficult to describe something that you can't really see in a sense, right? So having it be everywhere and everything helps, but nevertheless, it's difficult to describe because you aren't really seeing what you think you're seeing, right? I mean, you have to be able to meditate to have an experience of the self and then take that self out into the world where you're able to perceive that the differences aren't real, that the differences are still, like, say, the waves of an ocean of consciousness, that they don't exist separate from consciousness. So consciousness can assume any form, and that form is still consciousness, but at no time was the form separated from the consciousness, just like a wave of an ocean, is never separated from the ocean itself. And so we go back to this notion that within us is God, but yet we're in the world, we exist in the world. And so how do we exist in the world? We actually exist as God in the world. And to realize that is really to attain this immortality. So just to wrap up, I would say that the amazing result is that everything you're interacting with now, me, for example, I'm actually within you. So everything that you're interacting with, what you're seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, is actually within you. It's not external to you. And when you realize that is when you really say that you have something. That's when you really feel that deep sense of, you know, imperturbable bliss, say. And that's what would constitute the immortal state that we talked about last episode. And that's when, you know, your sense of death doesn't actually exist for you because you've gone beyond death. So I just want to say thank you to everyone tuning in today. Hopefully this has been enlightening for you. And we will be doing more things in the future. But for now, I'm going to be signing off. And again, thank you very much for listening. This has been Josh Barzell for Modern World Zen.